You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government is failing to meet its treaty obligations in regards to health. A recent paper by Heather Kame and Keith Tudor called Unravelling the Whariki of Crown, Māori and Health Infrastructure reveals these shortcomings. I spoke with the author of the paper and senior lecturer at AUT, Heather Kame, to find out a bit more about why they did this paper and the significance it holds.
Some of our partners drew to our attention that a number of changes had happened in the ministry, and we were concerned that we hadn't seen debate about it in the media or indeed any media releases from the Ministry of Health around that. So we thought we would write a paper for the New Zealand Medical Journal. This is myself and Keith Tudor from AUT. And we disestablished the Māori Health Team, Te Kite Hauora. They'd revoked the mandatory Māori Health Plans for DHBs. And it also downsized the requirements to consult DHBs. And those three things, each of them seemed really significant and important, so we thought it was important to write about.
How significant is this cut, the Māori policy team?
Well, Māori have an Article 2 of Te Treaty. Health is considered a tonga, a treasure. And so Māori are treaty partners, so they're different from other stakeholders in health. So therefore they should be involved in decision-making at all levels. By disestablishing the Māori Health Team, they'll make that harder for Māori to be actively involved in decisions at all levels, is how it appears from the outside.
How has the health system failed to actually meet these requirements of the treaty? Because the Ministry of Health spokesperson Alison Tom says that Māori representation has simply shifted and not disappeared, suggesting that they've been redistributed within the health system in specific units. If this is the case, then are they not adhering to the treaty?
What we know from the outside is that there's a senior Māori advisor and it's invisible. I'm sure there are Māori staff within the Ministry of Health, but they've become invisible within the structure. So it's harder for people outside to know who to speak to in terms of Māori expertise, and they've scattered that expertise across the whole of the ministry. And it's more useful to have a collective voice so that people can stand together, because certainly historically there's been issues and reports issued by the Ministry of Health around the recruitment and retention of Māori staff within the ministry. So at the moment, there's the Y2575 claim. So over 100 different groups have put forward claims to the Waitangi Tribunal in relation to health. And this is when the Minister of Health or Crown officials acting on their behalf have breached a treaty. So there's over 100 different cases going on in relation to health. So there's a long history of the Ministry of Health not fulfilling its treaty obligations.
So why do you think it's so critical to have a separate body within the health system, a separate Māori body within the health system to tackle this issue?
I think that what we're talking about in terms of myself and Keith Tudor are talking about a pattern of behaviour. And so we're pointing out that they've disestablished that team. They've also, it's no longer necessary for DHBs to write Māori health plans and report on those. And this, the downsizing of the requirements to consult. It's about all three of those things are steps backwards in terms of accountability around Te Treaty obligations. So it's not just that one thing, it's about a whole stepping back in a whole lot range of spaces, and those are the three that we identified.
So how do you suggest, having done this report, that the Ministry of Health meet its treaty obligations and combat this issue?
I think they need a dedicated Māori team within the Ministry of Health. And I think they need to have when you read the New Zealand Health Strategy, they talk about their commitment to health equity, but they don't explain how they're going to do that. And doing the same old means that we'll continue to get inequitable health outcomes. So the point of difference is that I think we need to support Māori-led solutions and have a health bureaucracy where it's transparent how they're meeting their treaty obligations in terms of kāwanatanga, tino rangatiratanga, oritiranga and wairuatanga.
And how do you think the approach to the health system is different for Pākehā versus Māori?
Pākehā don't experience personally mediated racism in the hands of health professionals. They don't experience inequitable opportunities in terms of treatment. They don't have the same access issues, and they don't have the same marginalisation in the development of health policy and health funding decisions. Other work that we've published earlier in the year in Social Science and Medicine talks about how the Ministry of Health has been, there's a pattern of discrimination against Māori health providers in terms of how they fund public health services. So it is Māori that are experiencing racism and Pākehā are experiencing the privilege, so that the health policy is designed in a way that it works for Pākehā. We're not seeing the same evidence that it's what's working for Māori.
Any final words?
There's always pockets of excellence in the health sector. So kia ora to those of you hardworking public health and health people within the Ministry of Health and other places. But let's make it transparent how you're honouring the treaty obligations, and let's really get passionate about pursuing health equity for all New Zealanders.
Around, you know, up to 8,000 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.